Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hello there. Since you're listening to my voice right now, you must be familiar with at least one community or campus radio station. Unless, of course, you just randomly dialed into this program. In that case, you may have stopped because something sounded different in between the same five latest pop hits and the jarring commercials. None of that here, mind you, because in the world of community and campus radio stations, any and all music can be heard and almost everybody is a volunteer. My name is Cornelius and my local station is CHFR on Hornby Island in the Salish Sea between Vancouver Island and the BC mainland. I'm a volunteer DJ and board member there, and I've only been involved for a couple of years, but I find it so satisfying to be part of providing my community with our own dedicated channel. In Canada, there are more than 235 licensed community and campus radio stations. More than half of them are members of the National Campus and Community Radio Association, also known as the NCRA. And every year they organize a conference for all of its members to help each other develop and learn about every aspect of this grassroots industry. There is so much to learn for a radio rookie like me, and that's why I was thrilled when I found out last year that the NCRA's 43rd conference was taking place in June in Nanaimo, only a short drive from my house, at least in Canadian terms. So I joined them there on behalf of the board of directors for my station, and I brought along my microphone so that I could report back to them, radio style. What you're about to hear is a collection of my impressions from that conference, edited for your enjoyment. I hope you like it. Here we go. Aaron, was it?
Yes, sir.
I am just trying to give my listeners on Hornby Island a bit of an idea of what this conference entails. I noticed that you were easy to speak up. You seem to have been part of these conferences before. And can I just ask you a little bit where you're from and what's your role in this whole thing?
I grew up in Toronto, Ontario. Sorry about that. I apologize. I work at CIVL Abbotsford now. I'm the station manager at CIVL. I'm the executive director of the Nonprofit Society. And we're a member, just like CHFR is. And I'm a delegate, just like Cornelius is. And we're here to learn and share and network and bring to the listeners the value that really every one of the hundreds of stations in the country who are working on campus community radio are building for their own listeners, for their own infrastructure, and to share with one another. That is the spirit, right, of radio, is sharing stories, listening, learning, enjoying, and scaffolding one another. So that's what we're here for. And I think it's a great opportunity. Thanks for coming.
What's one of your highlights from this particular conference?
The 35,000 Watts documentary is great. We're going to share in moments the CIVL counterculture, 20 years of campus radio in the Fraser Valley, or 20 years of CIVL radio in the Fraser Valley. And those are huge highlights for me. There's going to be the awards show on Friday, which every year will recognize like 20 to 30 different volunteers, any number of Hornby Island residents who could be included in content or awarded for content if the programmers or the station had supported it, even initiatives that aren't necessarily content, individual volunteers. Last year, CIVL's Cam Houck was Volunteer of the Year from among 10,000 volunteers across the country, and next year it could be from Hornby Island.
Thank you for mentioning that. I definitely want us to be represented at the next one. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you. Cheers.
Every year, the NCRA conference is held in a different location. And in 2025, the host station was CHLY Radio in Nanaimo. They had arranged for the events to take place at the Vancouver Island University campus, perched up on a hill overlooking this coastal city. This is the traditional unceded territory of the Snoqualmie First Nation, and it was one of their members, the Vancouver Island University Elder-in-Residence, Mr. Randy Fred, who welcomed us all with a rollicking tale of his life and achievements as a blind person publishing books and podcasts. Very inspiring.
And first of all, I must acknowledge the fact that we are in the traditional unceded territory of the Snoqualmie, and grateful to them for allowing us to be here and to benefit from all their history, language, and culture. And with that in mind, I want to follow their protocol of opening events like this with a short prayer. Our loving Father, our Creator, we thank you so much for this day of life. We thank you for everything you provide for our benefit. We thank you for all the arrangements you've put in place for us. And we thank you so much for giving us the capacity to have free will and to learn.
Also there to welcome us was a young and dashing politician, the Parliamentary Secretary for Transit in British Columbia, Mr. George Anderson. He was born and raised in Nanaimo, and he had even attended the very same auditorium we were in as a student. He had this to say.
The work of community radio is so important. 3 weeks ago, I gave a speech in the legislature about the fact that we are seeing printing presses across Canada are closing down. And the work that all of you are doing with community radio is making sure that local voices are part of the narrative, that they aren't disappearing, that we are talking about the local stories across Canada. And it's so, so important that we are able to reflect that culture, that history, and the vibrance of our communities, because without it, we don't have much left. And so I want to thank each and every one of you for the work that you're doing to make sure that we're uplifting our communities across Canada. And I hope that you have a very productive and interesting conference. And I know some of you are going to be leaving with some awards. Others are going to be having great discussions. But I would say, as you continue to do this work, remember those who don't have their voices shared throughout our narratives, and that you continue unapologetically to share these stories unfiltered. So again, on behalf of the province of British Columbia, thank you so much for choosing Nanaimo to have this conference and to have this 43rd conference here in Nanaimo. I hope that you have a great time, and please have a Nanaimo bar and please enjoy the best of what our city has to offer. Thank you very much.
I'm so new to this whole scene, so I didn't really know what to expect from this conference, except that I was hoping to gain a lot of practical knowledge about how to operate a radio station and where to apply for funding and that kind of thing. But these words from Mr. Anderson were the first sign for me that there was so much more on the program than just the ins and outs of actually broadcasting. During the whole event, there was a strong undercurrent of talks about the challenges that traditional media are facing across the board these years, with consumers turning to social media and other less than reliable news sources. But despite the grim outlook of fake news in a time of growing authoritarianism, there were several speakers who countered with hope. One of the many things that the NCRA is doing for its members is to collect data on this rather overlooked sector of the media world. And according to their latest survey from 2025, close to a third of all respondents now regularly or occasionally listen to a campus or community radio station. That number is up from less than a fifth of respondents in 2017, so that's a 13% increase over only 8 years. Several speakers during the conference pointed out that this increase may be due to the tendency of listeners in recent years to have more trust in their local radio station than in the commercial sector or even in the CBC. Meanwhile, I was having trouble choosing between the many interesting workshops and lectures in the 3-day program. Thankfully, every single thing was recorded and uploaded online so that we could take it all in later. And that's how I'm able to play you a few snippets here, although the audio quality is so-so. Here's the Indigenous editor, Eden Findey, talking about the importance of First Nation voices in today's newsrooms.
I also knew that the way that we do things is so different and, in my opinion, is so much safer and more careful than the way mainstream newsrooms run, that I felt passionate about that we need to be Indigenous-led, that there needs to be autonomy. Some people say sovereignty. We need to be able to bring our own cultures into the newsrooms. Otherwise, we will just be brown faces replicating the same harm that happens in every other newsroom. And I'm sorry, I'm talking mostly about the written word. I know that's not exactly, it may not apply in the same way to radio or podcasting. But I know, I don't know if you know any journalists or like reporters, but they tend to, everyone I've met that works for like a mainstream newsroom, almost all of them, people have told me that those newsrooms are toxic. They're very, very stressful places. And that is doubly so for Indigenous people. I've met more than one Indigenous person who worked in a mainstream newsroom for like 3 months and then quit journalism forever because it was so invalidating. But what I'm trying to get to is why I feel like the world needs Indigenous people leading media right now. And that has to do with the worldview that I've been gifted by my ancestors. In this perilous time that we're now living through, I actually feel like our worldview is one way through the madness to a place of sanity, to a place where balance can be restored. And we can't get there unless people have a chance to hear who we are and what our teachings are. And so that's really why I feel passionate about running Indigenous and also why I'm so passionate about the Indigenous Media Association of Canada and our desire to step into a new role where people can actually see us. And hopefully we can share and do some bridge building.
Okay, now I'll do a quick one here.
Yeah.
Kevin, what radio are you representing?
CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Is that your presenter voice right there?
Yes, it is.
Very nice. So what are your highlights, or what some of your highlights from the conference over the last 3 days?
It's Radio Summer Camp. So meeting new friends, reconnecting with old friends, sharing our successes, laughing about our failures, and being inspired from each other has been probably the most exciting things about this radio conference.
Is there something particular that you're taking with you from this conference that you think, oh, this was great learning, I'll implement that when I get back?
I think for Eden at the panel to have highlighted the importance of how we are embodying the work that we do rather than the productivity or the end result has been very inspiring. To sometimes you just need to give yourself permission to slow down, to rethink how you're doing things, to ask questions about how you can do better for yourself, for your community. I'm going to be taking that back with me to Halifax.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, Kevin, and for all your work documenting the whole conference.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, thanks. Just did a really lovely, playful workshop on trying to cultivate your imagination in the context of making radio. So we were exploring the sounds of the body, and it's really interesting to know that everybody else in the room in their daily life working with radio are also acutely and shamefully aware of the sounds that their bodies produce. But as it turns out, when you're listening to radio, not all the sounds that are involuntarily produced are unwelcome. And part of that is that the listener is a more able to visualize you sitting in the studio, for example. But yeah, just to not neglect all the sounds that invariably surround us in the pursuit of an ultra clean studio sound. Sometimes it's nice to have a bit of an audio clue to where you are. For example, right now I'm walking on some dried leaves. Wonderful, wonderful spry sound. Okay, onward. I'm gonna see if I can hustle up some vox pop. Great. So, first of all, what station? You're Asia Rattigan.
I'm Asia Rattigan, yeah.
And what station do you represent?
I'm at CFUV, located in Victoria.
Oh, okay, so neighbor.
Yeah,
okay.
Neighbors, right. Yes, yeah.
What's your highlight of this conference so far?
Oh, man, maybe I have recency bias, but we just watched a lovely documentary about community radio, and it made me tear up a little bit, and that was really beautiful. So, shout out to CIVL, and shout out to Aaron, but yeah.
Do you have any entries for the award show tomorrow?
We do have an entry. I think we put in a few, yes. Yeah.
So, and have you won awards before as a station?
Our station has won in the past, yeah. We usually have at least one win, I feel.
Oh, that's great. Can you recommend something that we should be syndicating?
I feel like Asia would be the one to ask that. Asia's the one that submitted all
the awards. Oh, no. I would highly recommend Queer Histories and Futures. That is our program that we have. And maybe JP can jump in here, too. Talk on the mic. Uh-oh.
Okay, yeah. Let's try it. JP Meldrum here, yeah. Also from CFUV. What program would you suggest that we syndicate?
Rowan, what do you got? I'm not super tapped into anything other than the music programming, to be honest with you.
I guess I have a good I'm Rowan. I'm station manager of CFUV in Victoria. I think Serena's recent show, Overstanding Hour, incredible show, a exploration of African diaspora music, and that's one I think one recent favorite of mine. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking to me for a minute. Okay. Bye. Deep in the bowels of Vancouver Island University campus, here is the theater room for the next presentation.
As the three-day conference progressed, I spoke to more people than I can remember. And I was generally very impressed with the knowledge, skills, and dedication of the many radio enthusiasts around me. And I have to say, what a lovely bunch of weirdos. As far as age goes, I think we spent the gamut from about 19 to 80 years old. And in terms of what work people do, I managed to meet accountants, webmasters, PR folks, legislators, industry enforcement agents, lobbyists, DJs, hosts, documentary makers, and of course, any number of board members for their own local stations. One evening over dinner, I had the pleasure of talking to an old hand in community radio. His name is Derek, and he was there representing a brand new radio station in my own neighborhood, the Comox Valley. The more I talked to Derek, the greener I felt, as he told me about working in 88 different countries through the UN. He told me about setting up a community radio station for blind people in Melbourne, Australia, with more than 700 volunteers. And not least the story of how he ended up writing the broadcasting code for the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu. You'll have to hear that story another time, because I didn't get my microphone out for that conversation, but here he is talking about his current radio work.
Here's some friendly faces. I'm just trying to give my listeners on Hornby Island a bit of an idea of what this conference is like and what kind of people show up. I'm just mostly just picking up on you guys because we're actually neighbors. This conference has people from all over Canada. But you guys are from the Comox Valley Broadcasting Society, am I right?
Yes.
What's your project? What's your current status?
Well, we've been going for about 18 months. We're online under the name CVOX, C-V-O-X. We hope to have our broadcast license application in sometime this fall, which probably means that if we're successful, we'll be on the air with an FM license in about a year's time or slightly more than that. We have a group of about 50-odd volunteers, and that includes the seven members on the board. So we're currently involved in developing programming in the Comox Valley, which is going to be our primary audience. We expect that our signal will reach a little further than that and probably overlap to a certain extent onto Hornby, but we certainly don't want to, take away anything from what you're doing and your station. So that's kind of about where we're at, but it's busy. This conference has opened our eyes in a lot of ways to a lot of the different things that are going on across the country, and also given us a lot of good ideas, which we want to share, and meeting you, of course, and making sure that we lay the foundation for future cooperation between Hornby Radio and the Comox Valley Radio.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have a sister radio this close, and hopefully we can share some programming and whatever is relevant, and I'm hoping to be able to pick up your signal on Hornby as well. But for now, I'll make sure to listen online. Before I leave you here, I just wanted to, what's your highlights from this conference so far?
My highlight, I think, just the networking, I think, is extremely important. You tend to become siloed when you're looking after and you've got so much concentration in trying to do what your aims and objectives are, and then you forget to look at the bigger picture. And I think coming here and meeting people from across the country and understanding the problems that they face or the challenges that they face, I won't say problems, and how that relates to the challenges that we're facing, and then you talk to them and find out how they've maybe solved it. I think one of the other big highlights is being able to speak to CRTC staffers and the commissioner who has been here, which gives us a better idea of how we should be approaching the CRTC when we apply for our apply for our license. So,
do you have anything to add, Brian?
No, he's got the great good radio voice.
He does indeed. Yeah. Yeah, what we all aspire to.
Just one more thing. I think the other thing that comes out of networking with the people here is not just looking at the challenges and how they've solved that. It's looking at the innovation and realizing what community radio is all about and what it should be about, like hyper-local news and looking for niche audiences, just where not worrying about whether or not we have 1,000 listeners, but making sure that we have the 20 listeners that are currently being underserved by all other media. And I think that's something that we sometimes lose sight of because, you know, we want to be successful and we sort of equate a success with huge audience. That's not necessarily success.
Quality over numbers.
Absolutely, quality over number. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That was Derek from the Comox Valley Broadcasting Society. And Brian, thank you so much.
We were getting to the last day of the conference, and the final event that evening was the NCRA Awards Show, they call CRABO, which stands for Community Radio Awards, Broadcasts, and Online. The evening proved to be a glamorous ending to the conference with a fancy gala dinner and a smooth jazz band warming up at the Malaspina Theater on the VIU campus. Among the many categories in the lineup, there were awards for things like syndicated programming, local talent development, community engagement, Community Radio Legend Award, and 16 other categories, all celebrating the passion, skills, and dedication of all of the nominees. But before we got to the action, the mayor of Nanaimo, Leonard Krogh, came to greet us, and he turned out to be quite the entertainer himself. Here he is tying up a mischievous speech.
The risk to the world and peace, etc. And now we are living in the most perilous times with the Mad King in the White House. And believe it or not, there are defenders of him. I got a nasty email after I used that term publicly. And a fellow wrote to me and said, by what arrogance, basically, did I call the President of the United States the Mad King? And I said, hell's bells, that's the way it was described on the cover of The Economist, that left-wing commie rag. So as you move forward tonight and you've got that dark shadow south of the border and some crazy things happening around the world, just remember what you're here to do tonight. What are you here to do? Celebrate. Celebrate, acknowledge, and honor the people who do the good work, right? And that, yes. So I encourage each and every one of you to clap loudly. I'm going to make my exit and go home and put my feet up, because I have nothing to do with CREPO, although some accuse me of having a lot to do with crap in my position as a politician. But apart from that, friends, thank you for the honor of welcoming all of you here. You have come from very diverse places, and I'm not just talking about...
Okay, so now the fun part. So our first award tonight is for Syndicated Radio Show, and this is open to shows that broadcast on a member station and at least two other member stations. So our first award tonight is Julian Taylor's Jukebox for episode 134, celebrating Juneteenth and National Indigenous Peoples Day.
After 3 days packed with serious topics like digital infrastructure, governance, and fundraising, it was great to mingle in a more relaxed way with the rest of the almost 100 attendees from all over Canada and really from all over the whole world.
I'm so happy to be here. It all worked out, and I'm here on Vancouver Island.
The entire award show was streamed online, and you can find all of the winners on awards.ncra.ca. So I won't go into it too much, except to say that there were jokes all the way, many happy thank you speeches, and even an F you to commercial radio.
We can all get along. And so commercial radio, community radio, right on. Thank you so much to my team.
The winner of the Breaking Barriers Award from CFUV, Mathilde Cervantes and Nicola Watts for Queer Histories and Futures.
Also scheduled for the show was a special guest, Robin Erickson, who delivered a very moving speech after being very surprised to receive this year's Community Radio Legend Award.
I am a bit speechless, partly because I was lied to.
I had attended a workshop by her earlier that same day, the one about being playful and including the sounds around us. As an MED in Arts for Social Change, with more than 20 years of community radio experience, she was a really engaging and inspiring facilitator. And now I got to see her doing her magic on the mic, almost as if it was a radio show.
These are strange times. There's no doubt about it. You feel it in your bones when you do the news rundown. Every time you air content that sparks curiosity. Every time you choose joy in a world that's asking you to be ordinary. Strange times need strange voices. Voices with texture, voices with accents, voices with pauses, ideas with dirt under your nails, stories told out of order, and